We have a God who really is a way maker.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
They are verses that help bring together the first three chapters of Ephesians with the last three chapters of Ephesians. They are verses that help us understand what God meant, what he did, and what he will do through us. And they are verses 20 and 21. I want to read them to your hearing. It says, "And now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Today, I want us in our next few moments together to think about this idea of letting his power work in us. Amen. Letting his power work in us.
Amen.
I want to talk about what that means for you and for me, and how important it is that you and I let his power work in us so that we can be all that we have been called to be. Father, we pause for just a moment, Lord, and we ask in the name of Jesus Christ for your mercy. We ask that, God, as we understand that the unfolding of your word gives light, gives understanding to the simple, to the inexperienced. We ask that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can know you better. We pray that the eyes of our hearts are enlightened so that we can know the hope of our calling, so that we can know the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, so that we can know the immeasurable greatness of your power toward us who believe. We ask this in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Several years ago, there was a commercial that came out. You may be familiar with that commercial. It was about a cleaning agent that wanted to do all the work for you. Amen. This commercial that they had little bristles, little brush heads with eyes on it, and they were going about spinning and moving, and they were professing as they were moving that they had the power. That all you had to do was spray them and let them do the work. And after they had finished doing the work, all you had to do was wipe all of the grime away. Cute commercial. Product was decent, but you and I know when you get enough grime, there's not much that you can use that'll do all the work for you. But I want to tell you that there is a power that has been deposited in you and me. That can do what the little bubbles couldn't do.
Amen.
That can take care of every issue inside of you and me. And he could clean us up from the inside out so that we could shine brightly on his behalf.
Amen.
And I want to talk to you about that power today, because that's what he has made available to me and to you. In the book of Ephesians, chapters 1, 2, and 3, they tell about what God has done for you and me. They tell about who we are in God, and they help us to understand our true identity. They're important verses, they're important chapters, because they establish for us doctrinally who we are even when we don't realize that's who we are. Because sometimes, you know, we don't feel like who we are. Sometimes we don't feel like who we are. Sometimes we are not experiencing the things of who we are. And so we need the truth of God's word to anchor our souls so that when we're not feeling like who we are, the truth of his word reminds us of who we are. The apostle Paul, as he is writing to the church at Ephesus, reminds them of who they are in Christ Jesus. He reminds them of the work that Christ did on their behalf, and he reminds them of what God did for them. He takes time to help them to know that it is because of Christ's finished work that they are a renewed people, that they have a new name, that they are a new creation, that they are a people that are no longer dead, but they are alive, all because of God's great love and the finished work of Jesus Christ, demonstrated by his death on a cross and by his being raised from the dead. He said, you and I are the workmanship of God. We've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. He said that you and I are a holy temple, that we are a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That's who you are. You are a holy temple, a dwelling place for the Spirit of the living God. He says that through the gospel, you and I are heirs together. He says that we are members together of one body and sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that's good news. That's good news. He says that you and I have been redeemed from an empty way of life, that you and I have been given purpose, and that we have a reason to live. All because he created us. All because he knows us, and he knows us by name. Oh, here's what I love. He even knows the number of hairs that are on your head. And for those of us who are losing them, he knows the number that we've lost. Now that's a good God. What God did for us was he took and he, when you and I express a hope, a belief, a faith, a confidence in Jesus Christ, God then seals us with his Spirit, makes a deposit. He marks us. And that deposit is a guarantee of the promises to come. Oh, that ceiling may not be visible to the naked eye. Oh, but he knows those who belong to him. Amen.
Amen.
And he has sealed us with his Spirit so that you and I may be gifted and equipped with what we need. God has rooted us, he has rooted us in his love, and he has established us in his love. These are things that God has done with no help from you and from me. In fact, he says that you have been saved by grace, not of your own, not by your works, not by your good deeds. You've been saved by grace because of his mercy. He didn't want any of us to be able to boast.
Amen.
And so he did the saving. And so Paul then gets us to this place. He has described who we are in God, who we are in Christ. Then he has this eruption of praise where he says, now unto him who is Abel. Oh, I could stop right there, couldn't I? Because that describes our God, the one who is able. Able to do what? Well, you name it. He's able to do it. Amen? If he sends deliverance and sets people free from slavery, and then their captor pursues them, and they find themselves between a rock and a hard place, he's able to make a way out of no way. Yeah, there's nothing that is too hard for him because he is the God who is able. He is the one who can take nothing and make something. Because he is the creative God who needs no help, who needs no external resources, because he has everything that he needs. He is able. Able to meet you right where you are, give you right what you need, because he is also the God who is the great I am. He is able to be with you whatever you need him to be for you to carry out his purposes in your life. Amen. He is able. He is able. He says, now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more you and I could ask or think or imagine. So he's saying that whatever thought you come up with, he can match it. Amen? No matter how creative you are, no matter how imaginative you are, there is no imagination that you have that he is not able to meet or top what you have described. So he's able to go above and beyond what you are able to ask, think, or imagine. You know that you have not because what? You do not ask. And he says, don't be afraid to ask him because he is the one who is able to do it. It says, now unto him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask, think, or imagine. And here's where we want to get to. According to the power that is at work within us. According to the power that is at work within us. Brothers and sisters, I want to declare to you that God is capable to do everything that he said he would do. God is not a man that he should lie. He's never made a promise that he has to go back and say, oh, I forgot to check my resources. I'm not going to be able to deliver on the promise I just made. Can I give you a rain check? I'm sorry. God has never had to do that. God has never been in the position of promising to deliver something only to get to the place of delivery and saying that, I'm sorry, I can't do it. We've got a problem with supply chain. The stuff is stuck in port. I thought I would be able to get it for you, but I can't get it for you. That's not God. God has always been one who is, when he has promised to deliver, he has been capable of carrying it out, because the cattle on a thousand hills belong to him. Amen. God has been able to deliver because he has resources that you and I can't see. He has resources that sit high with him. And when he needs to dispatch them, he sends them coming to bring you and I what he has promised, because God watches over his word to make sure that it is performed and carried out, because his word never ever returns to him empty or void. So he says, according to the power that is at work within you. That power that is at work within you happens to be the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because when you and I trusted in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, God sent his Spirit to live inside of you and me. He sent his Spirit as a deposit to be resident in you and me, so that you and I could have a direct line of communication with the Father, so you and I could hear what he would want us to do, so you and I could hear about his resources, so you and I could know the path that he was plotting for us, so that we could walk according to his steps ordained for our lives. And he sent his Holy Spirit so that you and I would not be as orphans, but that he would be walking with us. It's his greatest desire to come and make his dwelling place with you and with me. He says the only way he can do that is by his Spirit. Brothers and sisters, can I tell you that you and I need to stop minimizing the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer?
Yes, sir.
Amen. You and I are looking at a world right now that seems to be going crazy, and we can't seem to understand why. It is because we underestimate the power of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because if the truth be known, if it were not for his Spirit, that could be you and me. And it is by his Spirit that we are anchored. It is by his Spirit that we remain stable. It is by his Spirit that we are able to rise above the things that are happening in the natural man. It is by his Spirit and his Spirit alone. You and I need to be careful that we don't take credit for what the Spirit is doing. Amen. When he helps you to shut your mouth when you need to be quiet, don't you take credit for having control. You better be glad that he lives in you. Amen.
Amen.
When you driving on the expressway and somebody is driving like they don't have license or shouldn't have license, and they're misbehaving, and you have enough wherewithal to maintain your cool and to begin to pray for them that they don't hurt somebody or themselves, don't say to yourself, look at me, I'm so good and sweet. You had better acknowledge that it is the power of God's Spirit that is at work inside of you, helping you to become who he has called you to be.
Amen.
Amen. He says, that power in us can do much more than you and I ever imagined it could do.
Yeah.
I want to give you three quick things that can happen when you and I let the power of the Holy Spirit work in us, and when we don't interrupt his process, when we don't get in the way. The first thing is this, is that when we let the power do his work, there will be unity in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. See, chapters 1, 2, and 3 told you what God did, told you who you are, and helped you identify with your identity. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 then talks about how you are to live out who you are. In verses 20 and 21 says to you and me that without the power of the Spirit of the living God working on the inside of you, chapters 4, 5, and 6 won't be real in your life, because you cannot do this in your own strength. You need the power of the Holy Spirit working inside of you so that you can pull off what's talked about in 4, 5, and 6.
All right.
And so he says that if you allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in you, that the body of Christ, there will be unity in the body of Christ. In fact, when you go to chapter 4, you're going to see a word that's repeated over and over and over again. It's talked about oneness. We are one. It is the idea that he has called us to be one. He said that you and I are to operate as one body, that we are not to be separate entities. Yes, we have different functions, but we need to understand that we are one in the Spirit. He says that when you allow the Holy Spirit to be at work in your life, what you will discover is that there will be unity in the body, because suddenly when the Spirit is working in you, you start to understand who you are. Amen. You start to understand that it is by God's grace that you are where you are. It is by God's grace and God's favor that you have what you have. It is by God's grace and God's favor that you're doing what you're doing. And when you stop taking credit for what God is doing, it allows you to look at others with mercy. It allows you to look at others with compassion. It allows you to look at others with kindness. It allows you to look at others and say, God, how do you want to use what you're doing in me to work in their lives? God, how can we work together so that the world can know that we are one? But that only happens when the power of the Holy Spirit is working in you. Because what happens when the Spirit is working in you, you're no longer walking in blindness, because now you have new sight.
Yes.
You're able to see each individual created in the image of God. You're able to see that each man or woman who has been redeemed has been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And what you discover is when you've been covered with red, we all look alike.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. When you've been covered in red, it has a way of connecting us together. When we've been covered in red, then there is a uniting of the body that comes together with one goal and one purpose, and that is to exalt the wonderful, magnificent name of Jesus Christ and to express to a dying world, there is one who loves you, and I'm a witness, and I can tell you about him. It is by him that the destroying, the barrier has been destroyed. Because of Jesus, everything has been torn down.
Yes.
Because of him. He says when you allow the power of the Holy Spirit to work in you, to renew your thinking, to change the way you look, to change the way you act, to change the way you see, he says that there will be unity then in the body of Christ. The second thing is this, when you allow the power of the Holy Spirit to be at work in you, the light of Jesus is going to shine in your living. Amen?
Amen?
When you allow the Spirit to do his work in you, the light of Jesus will shine in your living. You're familiar with that scripture that says, let your light shine before men. Amen? That they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Not so that they can see your good deeds and glorify you, but glorify your Father in heaven. That what you do is supposed to be a reflection of who God is, and everything you do is supposed to point back to him. Amen?
Amen.
As you're working through Ephesians chapter 4, 5, and 6, what you're going to discover is that then, after you've been told who you are, Paul says that now your identity, your encounter with Jesus needs to affect every area of your life. He says, you're not supposed to be one way at home and another way when we come in here.
All right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He said that you're supposed to be at home getting your worship on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that when we come together, it's easy to get your worship on. Amen?
Amen.
Don't let Sunday be the only time you worship.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He says that your light will shine. The light of Jesus will shine in your living. So he says, here's what's going to happen. In your familiar relationships, in your family relationships, when the power of the Spirit of the living God is working on the inside of you, the light of Jesus will shine. Between a husband and a wife, the light of Jesus will shine. That wife will learn how to respect and love her husband as he leads the family and as she is submissive to him. That husband is going to learn how to love his wife as Christ loved the church and be willing to give up everything for her just like Christ did for the church. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit is at work in you, helping you to understand that you need him to be able to do this, because the marriage itself reflects a relationship between Christ and the church. And you know that when you've got a good marriage, you'll be able to tell a story about Jesus in his church.
Yeah.
So the light of Jesus shines in you. In fact, it says to children, what you're going to do is learn how to honor and respect your parents. And you're going to honor them and you're going to obey them. Why? Because your parents are going to treat you right. Because he says when the Spirit of the living God is at work in you, that fathers won't exasperate their children.
Yeah.
And man, he says that fathers will lead your children. You will guide your children. You will help them to grow up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Why? Because the Spirit of the living God is at work in you, and he is transforming you and changing you so that you can duplicate who you are. Remember, that's your job. Children are a gift from God, but all he says is he wants you to help them to get to him. And then your job is to live out that calling in your home so that you raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And as your children see how much you love God, that is going to be transferred into a love for him. And then they're going to be raised up just like you to be in the family of God. Going to make that decision to say, yes, I'll trust him. Yes, I seen mama trust him and it didn't go bad for her. Yes, I seen daddy trust him and I know who to call on in times of trouble. I believe I'll trust him too. Because when the Spirit of the living God is at work in your life is going to impact every arena of your life. There is no such thing as a duplicitous life when God's Spirit is at work in you. There is no line of demarcation between my spiritual person and my secular person. They are all one. This is who I am, and therefore this is how I live, no matter where I am or what I am doing. Why? Because the Spirit of the living God is at work in me. Paul goes on to express to the church at Ephesus that, listen, it's going to impact the way you behave at work. It's going to impact the way you behave at play. It's going to impact all that you do, because when the Spirit of the living God is at work in you, he's going to change everything about you so that you shine brightly wherever you are. Third thing is this, that when we let the power of the living God do his work in us, we are able to stand up against the schemes of the devil. Amen. You and I know that the devil doesn't play fair. He's full of deception. He's sneaky. And he'll use whatever he can to push you off course of God's plan. He has one objective and one motive. That is to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to kill God's plan in your life. He wants to steal God's purposes from your life. And he wants to destroy you in your relationship with God. And he really doesn't care how he does it, nor does he care who he uses. For in his mind, everyone is fair game. And on any given day, if you and I are not allowing the Spirit of the living God to control us and to work in us, we could accidentally become pawns of the enemy. So you and I need the Spirit of the living God working in us so that we can stand against the schemes of the devil. Here is the good news for you and me. Because the Spirit of the living God is an all-knowing spirit, because there is nothing that sneaks by him, because he too is God, a part of the unit, the Trinity, that he too then knows all that is happening. He receives from God and is able to tell you and me. So there is nothing that sneaks up on the Spirit of the living God. And if you are allowing him to work in you, he gives you insight as to what the enemy is doing. He allows you to recognize the schemes of the enemy so that you don't become a willing participant in his work, so that you can then be used as an agent of God to stand against him. In chapter 6 of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul reminds you and me that we need to be dressed in our armor so that we can take our stand against the devil. That you and I need to be clothed properly because we are in a fight. But if you are clothed and you're not allowing the Spirit of God to control you and work in you, then you are clothed, but you're not empowered. Amen?
Amen.
So you need the Spirit of the living God to be working in you so that you are able to navigate and move through whatever battle he has placed you in so that you can stand firm against the enemy. Because who are you? You are God's workmanship, created to do good works in Christ Jesus. Who are you? You are God's representative, called to stand in the face of evil and to fight against what the devil might be doing. Who are you? You are God's representative. You are Jesus' hands and feet. You are the body of Christ, called to represent kingdom principles in this world. And therefore, if that's who you are, that means that you must be a kingdom warrior empowered to do kingdom battle. The word of God says that Jesus walked on earth. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went around doing battle with the devil. What was he doing? Setting free all of those who were under the attack of the enemy. Jesus had a way of showing up and allowing the power of God to be manifest so that men and women were set free. Who are you? You've been called to be servants of the living God, to carry the love of Jesus Christ wherever you go, so that men and women know that, no, the devil might be bad, but he ain't all that. He still must bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Your job, amen. Your job is to walk into those dark places and be a light where there are folks who have been hemmed up by the hand of the enemy. Your job is to carry the good news of Jesus Christ and to remind every man, woman, boy, and girl that he is a way maker, a miracle worker, that he can do a work that cannot be stopped by any devil in hell. And the only way that you and I can do that is when we allow the Spirit to do his work in us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the question becomes, what do I need to do to make sure that I'm letting him do his work in me? Amen. First thing you have to do is this: acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acknowledge that Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins, and that you no longer have a sin debt, but that debt has been paid for. And acknowledge that God raised him from the dead so that you and I might have life. So first, you've got to be in a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. Secondly, what must I do? When I've acknowledged that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, he is the only one who can pay for my debts, then what must I do? Then you must walk in obedience to his word. Amen? See, when you and I stop walking in obedience, we interrupt the working of God's Spirit in our lives. Disobedience interrupts the flow of power in your life. You and I must walk in obedience to God's commands to us, those which are written and made plain, and those which he speaks to our individual hearts. We must walk in obedience to what he has said. Here's the truth. God says that when you walk by faith, you won't be disappointed. He's called us to walk by faith. When we walk by faith, we get a chance to see him do his work in our lives. He says that you must believe that he exists, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The first part of that was, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You must have faith to believe that God is able to do what he said he will do, and therefore, you can't allow disobedience to come in and interrupt his work in your life. So your job and my job, and thanks be to God that he gives us his Spirit so that we can walk in obedience. We must walk in obedience to what his Spirit has said. When we walk in obedience to what his Spirit has said, his power is then manifest in our lives. Amen. Thirdly, you must do this. You must be willing to surrender all of you to him. Amen. Don't put one foot in and you got the other one here. If you want the power of the Spirit of the living God working in you, you got to have both feet in. Fully committed. I'm in it for the long haul. I'm with you and I'm allowing you to use me however you want to use me for your glory. And I won't shrink back. You simply have your way. Use my tongue. Use my hands. Use my feet. Use my material blessings. Use all of me for your glory. If you're willing to make a full commitment to God, God is willing to make a full commitment to you. Well, he said that his eyes range throughout the earth looking for those whom he can strengthen. To strengthen the hearts of those who are fully committed to him. And so you make a full commitment to him, then his power is made available to you. Trust Jesus. Walk in obedience. Be fully committed. He says, my power will work in you. It is interesting that the writer of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, says in the 7th verse of the 3rd chapter, that it is by the power that he was redeemed. That God's grace showed up, and it was by God's power that Paul was called from his way of life. You want to know what the power of God working in you can do? Just look at the life of Paul. Many of you know Paul's redemption story, what happened. Paul was an enemy of the church. Paul was an enemy of the people who put their hope and their trust in Jesus Christ. And Paul, as a Pharisee, was on his way to a place called Damascus with orders from those who were in charge so that he could take and arrest men and women who had trusted Jesus and put them in prison and also, if necessary, have them killed. On the way there, Paul was arrested by a bright light that knocked him off of the mule that he was riding, off of the donkey that he was riding. It knocked him off, knocked him down. Not only did it knock him down, but it took his sight away. But Paul said, when I saw this bright light, I was blind and could not see. And even though I was blind and could not see, I heard a voice speaking to me that said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, and when I responded, I discovered that the voice that was talking to me was none other than Jesus Christ. And he said, by his great power, he knocked me off my mule, blinded me and arrested me just so that he could save me. Paul said, when I got to Damascus, he sent a man to see me and to talk to me and tell me about this Jesus that I have been persecuting. And not only did he do that, but he gave that man the power to take away my blindness. When I trusted and believed and that man laid his hands on me, the scales fell off my eyes and I was no longer blind, but I could see. Paul said the power of God came upon me in such a way that I was no longer the same. And I became a servant of Jesus Christ. I became a servant of the living God. And then I was willing to take my energy. I was willing to take my learning. I was willing to take my resources. I was willing to go from one end of the globe to the other to tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ, who couldn't wipe me out, but instead his grace saved me. He said that power has walked with me and has equipped me and has empowered me to tell countless others about the Redeemer, the living Son of God, who was dead, but yet is alive. Who was buried, but yet has been raised. Who was on earth, but yet has been taken up and is now at the right hand of the Father. He said his power becomes available to every man or woman who will put their hope and their trust in Jesus Christ, who will walk in obedience to his word, and who is willing to be fully committed to the call of God upon your lives. So my question for you, is that you today?